Good morning. How good it is to be gathered in this place in a spirit of worship, and how wonderful it is to have members of our wind ensemble to enter us, help us to enter into worship this morning and to lead us throughout our worship service. It is indeed good to be in the beauty of this place. The sun is shining, always makes me happy on a cold winter's week. Who knows what lies ahead in the week, but we are grateful to be here this morning. I want all of you to know that you all are all most welcome here at St. John's, but in particular, I want to give a shout out to those of you who are visiting with us this morning. If this is your first time visiting with us here at St. John's, welcome. If you would be so kind, and if it's something that interests you, there is a card on either end of your pew, and I think in the middle as well, a visitor card to fill out. Has a little mouse in the corner. Just some brief information for us to learn a bit more about you and keep in touch so that you can learn more about us and that we can learn more about you if that is something that you are interested in. And as always, as I said, no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome to all. I do have quite a few announcements this morning, lots of things to remember, lots of little details to be reminded of, so I will start at the top. I mentioned last week, but I want to reiterate just because Lisa put a lot of time and effort into it, our St. John's updated directory is available in the narthex and in the elevator lobby. It looks like this, it has a phone on the front. This is kind of an addition to the pictorial directory that we published at this point many years ago. It's quite outdated, but you may remember for a while Lisa's been asking for some updates of names and numbers and things like that, addresses. So if you did not turn in one of those updated forms, you will not be in the updated directory. So only people that handed those back in are in here, but still a good thing to pick up to have the most up-to-date directory. If you go out into the narthex, you will also see a table full of very colorful bags. It's because it is our Carry Out Connection Sunday. It's our Sunday school program here, a take-home Sunday school program. Our kids met downstairs from 9 to 10. So this is February's bag. If you have little ones, if you love little ones, if you are in the care of them, please feel free to grab one of those on your way out this morning. A reminder, last week during our congregational meeting, our new council members were voted upon, but next week on the 12th, they will actually be installed. So please join us for that as part of our worship service. A reminder, Joanne Sine wanted me to remind those of you involved in the Stampers that they will be meeting this week on Thursday at 1. I believe last month the dates got adjusted and she just wanted to remind everyone that we're back to the normal schedule. So this Thursday at 1 in the activity room. A reminder that this Sunday there will be social downstairs following this service. So please, I'll remind you at the end, but head downstairs as soon as this service is over. Another reminder, the elders will be providing a dinner on Ash Wednesday, which is quickly approaching, hard to believe, February 22nd. We'll have pizza, salad, dessert, and drinks. There is a sign-up sheet in the elevator lobby and in the narthex. Once again, you can't go wrong going to either one of those spots this morning after worship. So please take time to go there. Signing up just helps us to prepare about how many. If you don't get to sign up, you're still welcome on Ash Wednesday, but please, please try to sign up so that we can get enough food. Kind of along the same line, I want to offer a thank you to all of our deacons and to our volunteers who helped to make last week's congregational dinner a delicious success. It was wonderful. Yes, absolutely. Round of applause. It has been a while since we gathered for a dinner or lunch like that, and it was good to have nothing else to do but to eat and to enjoy one another's company and to catch up. So I'm grateful for all the many hands that made last week happen. I believe that is all the announcements, except for Dan Panichida is going to come forward for just a moment.
Good morning. I just wanted to take a moment out to thank everyone who braved the single-digit wind chill on Friday night to come out to the opening of my one-man show over at Eclipse Gallery. It was a great success. In less than 2 hours, we had over 50 people came out to see the show. And if I could quote a journalist, author, and poet named Lillian Whiting, "If you are rich in friends, you are poor in nothing." And I'd like to say that I feel like a very rich man. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. I know there's a lot to remember, a lot of details, and a lot of things that you can catch up on later in your Herald and your Enlightener. But for now, I want to invite you to very intentionally join me in taking a deep breath. Always the best way to start a day and a worship service. As we breathe in God's Spirit that surrounds us in this place and fills each one of us as we worship. As we exhale and feel our shoulders drop and feel ourselves becoming present as we set aside the many things that busy our hearts and minds when we are still, so that we can be fully present in this time and in this place as we gather together to worship and to focus our hearts and our minds and our voices. Amen.
Thank you.
the human body, body of blood and muscle, is to live, it needs salt. If the body of Christ, body of peace and justice, is to live, it needs us. If the earthly creation, bustling and blooming, is to flourish, it needs the sun's light. If the new creation we are in Christ is to flourish, it needs the Spirit's light. Jesus says we are the salt of the earth, light of the world. Our faith, our love, our hope, essential as salt and light. But if salt isn't salty, it isn't what it's meant to be. And if a light doesn't shine, it isn't what it's meant to be. Jesus says we are salt of the earth, light of the world. Briny and bright, we are God's faithful people. May we be who we are meant to be in Christ, a compassionate community, giving glory to God, gathered to worship in the name of God, Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together to confess our sins by praying the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, you call your disciples, including us, to be salt and light in and to the world. And yet we confess that we have not always heeded your call. Instead of illuminating your love, mercy, and justice, we have blurred it with our own rules and opinions and stipulations. Instead of adding balanced flavor and meaningful zest to the world, we have either held back or overpowered, turning people off entirely to what you have to offer. Help us, God, to be mindful of the ways we show up in the world. May our actions, words, and lives reflect your light and enhance your mission in ways that are life-giving, that all may taste and see your goodness. Amen. Friends, the reminder I'm about to give you is the same one I share every week, but it always bears repeating. We are a people forgiven. And when we take time to confess our sins, to claim our mistakes, and to ask for God's help, we can truly taste and see God's goodness, grace, and mercy in all of its fullness. As we claim these gifts this day, may we allow them to change everything, to transform us from the inside out. We are forgiven. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is Psalm 112, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as the light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven."
Oh, I didn't even have to invite you. You all knew what to do. So we all just spent an hour together talking about some of the things that you just heard about salt and light, and you did a whole That's right, and Andrew just read that same paragraph again, didn't he? Yeah. So you already know a lot about light. And we did talk a little bit about salt downstairs, but I really wanted to... We do have light all around us. You are right. Mm-hmm. But I want to focus on the salt part right now. Because at the very beginning of what Andrew read, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Sounds kind of weird. Yeah, I think it sounds kind of weird. So I want to think about salt for a minute. I have something in my bag that you might already be able to smell. Anyway, I don't know. Let's see what's in my bag. I have one for each of you. What are those? Soft pretzels, right? And what is on the soft pretzel? Salt.
It makes them taste good.
That's right. Soft pretzels can be good by themselves, but they're even better when they have the salt on them. So that's one thing that salt does. It makes things taste better. But you know, in the wintertime, there's something else that salt can do.
Melt the ice. So we don't slip and get hurt.
Right, so salt can also keep us safe. So it helps things taste better. Yeah, that's all right. So it makes things taste better and it can keep us safer. There's something else that salt can do. Do you think back when Jesus was alive they had refrigerators?
No.
No, so when, yeah. So sometimes people would put salt on food so it would last longer. So it can keep things fresh. Yeah, And so salt can make things taste better. It can keep things safer. And it can make things last longer. And that's pretty cool to think of all those things that one thing can do. So that's right. Yeah. And there's salt in the ocean too. That's right. And so when we think of salt and we think about being the salt of the earth, can you think of ways that we could help things be better or help things stay safer or last longer?
Giving people love.
That would be a good thing. Do you guys have something that we could do to help things be better or stay safer?
Put salt out where it's slippery. Put salt out where it should be.
You can like lead people.
Be hopeful.
Right. So those are all good things that we can do to be like salt. So let's say our prayer. And thank you, God, for bringing us all together, for giving us ways to be like salt and helping each other. Bring us all back together safely. And let us all remember the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father,
who art. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Thank you.
I invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, you have set before us a challenging call, a responsibility and identity of being salt and light in the world. Help us to understand what that means. Help us to hear your word in the midst of mine, and help that word to fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to learning, to growing, and to becoming more like your son, Jesus. Amen. Last week, we sat down with Jesus as he began his Sermon on the Mount with words that we recognize as the Beatitudes. And Jesus' words for us this week from the Gospel of Matthew are a continuation of that same lesson, but there's a decidedly different tone. Now, remember what Pastor Dale reminded us of last week. There is a difference between words shared sitting down and words shared standing up, but a purpose and a time for both. It seems to me that this week these may be standing up words, but I'll let you be the judge. This morning we hear Jesus say to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot." Salt is a pretty common thing for us, isn't it? It's important, but not particularly valuable. We probably don't think about it much beyond needing it at the dinner table or in a recipe, or perhaps trying to avoid it in excess in the foods that we buy. But in ancient times, in the time in which Jesus was sharing these words in his sermon, salt carried a bit more weight. People believed that salt did everything from warding off evil spirits to disinfecting wounds. Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt, which is where our English word salary comes from. And of course, in all the centuries before refrigeration, as Abby shared, salt was essential for food preservation. Now, even though we might not spend a whole lot of time thinking about it, we still use salt for all sorts of purposes. In fact, my guess is that we know more when it's missing than when it's present. Salt accentuates flavors. It melts ice. It softens our water. It speeds up a boil. It eases swelling. It cleanses wounds. And I can personally attest that it soothes a sore throat. But there is a tipping point with salt, is there not? In some contexts, salt has more of a flavor. It has an edge, a bite. For all of its helpful qualities, we still use the phrase salt in the wound. It can still sting and burn. It can be abrasive. It can irritate, and it can ruin. Just look at the side of any beach house. Salt does a number. As with most things, balance is key. If we don't have enough salt in our bodies, we feel it. But if we have too much, we also feel it. And the same is true of light, which Jesus also tells us that we are. "You are the light of the world," he says, "meant to shine on a lampstand bright enough to light up an entire house." And just as is the case with salt, when there isn't enough light, we can't see. And when there's too much light, we can't see. It's all about mindfulness. And since Jesus tells us that we are salt and light, not becoming salt and light, not earning or serving or praying our way to salt and light, not proving ourselves to be salt and light, perhaps Jesus' message for us today is about how to be those things well, how to be mindful about how we show up as salt and light in the world, not hiding our light under a bushel, but knowing what and when to illuminate, and how to diffuse our light effectively. Not adding too much or too little salt, but knowing when a little goes a long way. Knowing where to concentrate and direct our light and our saltiness and how much. Focusing on just salt for a moment, salt does its best work when it's poured out, does it not? When it's scattered or sprinkled, properly mixed in and incorporated, when it dissolves into what it is around. Salt is not meant to cluster. It's meant to give of itself. It's meant to share its unique flavor and power in order to bring out the best in all that surrounds it. To quote a cookbook I have, salt makes food taste more like itself. Isn't that our call as Christ followers too? To live and to believe in such a way that inspires others to be the best, most flavorful, most authentic versions of themselves. And not just people in our own little circles, but all people. Which means that if we want to enliven, enhance, deepen, and preserve the world we live in, we must not clump up and hide within the walls of our respective churches with which we agree. We can't cluster and congregate simply for our own comfort. We can't retreat into our safe bubbles out of fear or cynicism or shame or self-righteousness. Salt does not exist to preserve itself. It exists to preserve what surrounds it. Light doesn't need its own light. It is meant to be shared with what surrounds it. Salt and light are meant to enhance, not dominate. As followers of Christ, our saltiness is meant to heal, not wound, to purify, not destroy, to soften, not harden. And when it comes to light, our identity as the light of the world that Christ entrusts to us is meant to shine, not blind. It is meant to draw people in, not to cause them to have to close their eyes and cover their face and turn away. I think that Jesus knew that his disciples, both the ones he spoke to back in the day and the ones he speaks to now, have a tendency to be all or nothing people. We like to have a heavy hand with the salt, and we think that brighter is always better. Mindfulness is not always our forte. But salt poured out without discretion leaves a burnt, bitter sensation in its wake. Light shown without care blinds us all. When we forget that tipping point, when we forget to look and listen with discernment and compassion, when we disregard the power of balance of all the voices at the table, we ruin what we try to enhance. This, unfortunately, can be the reputation of Christianity and its followers, can it not? We can easily become the salt that stings and the light that shines to blind or to shame. We are known for clumping together, hoarding our power and our resources instead of giving it away to all that surrounds us. We are known for shining a light only on what we want to look at, illuminating ourselves and people that agree with our own agendas and beliefs. This, I have to believe, is not what Jesus ever intended when he called us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Our power and preciousness was never meant to make us proud or self-righteous. It was meant to connect us. So what do we do? Because Jesus did tell us who we are meant to be, and he always means what he says. Just as we are not meant to over-salt and over-shine, we are also not meant to hide, to choose blandness instead of boldness, to keep the good news dimmed under a bushel basket. That kind of light, the kind that is hidden, is good for nothing. That kind of salt, the kind that has lost its taste, Jesus told his listeners, is useless. We are called to live wisely, mindfully, intentionally, in a constant state of paying attention and listening and learning. Salt and light at their best sustain and enrich and reveal even more life and flavor. They pour themselves out with discretion so that God's kingdom might be known and seen and tasted here on earth. A kingdom of spice and zest, of brightness and warmth. This month, February, is Black History Month in this country, and I had this in mind as I read our scripture passage and pondered onto what and whom we shine our light, and our call, our responsibility, to lift up the stories and voices and lives of those often forgotten. Black History Month, created to focus attention on the contributions of African Americans to the United States, took an awfully long time to arrive on our calendars. After hundreds of years of slavery and 61 years of segregation, in 1926, though it has earlier roots, a man named Carter Woodson decided that in the week in which we, as a nation, celebrate Abraham Lincoln, we should also lift up the stories and the histories of the people who were most affected by his presidency. Black people who had been freed and were now finally free to build a story for themselves, a history, when so much of that had been taken. Black institutions and a whole lot of churches took up the cause. It was a success and finally morphed into Black History Month at Kent State University in 1970, before Gerald Ford made it official for the country in 1976. I hear people sometimes debate the wisdom or purpose of Black History Month, or we just pass by it altogether. But I believe that Carter Woodson knew what Jesus knew, that when you have no story, when you lose your saltiness or your saltiness is taken from you, when you lose your light or when someone else's bushel basket is forced upon you and loses it for you, it is easy for you to be forgotten or even erased, and no one is meant to be hidden. As people of faith studying the words, the actions, the life of one who walked this earth over 2,000 years ago, we know that the story we tell about our past shapes our present and our future. But so often we fail to shed a light on the ugliest parts of our past. We shy away from illuminating stories of those who don't look like us, or sound like us, or think like us, or who might hold us accountable for our actions, or who might shine their light on a part of our story we'd rather keep in the dark. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes concrete the works of love, compassion, healing, and justice. It is not enough to simply say we believe and to go about our business. It's not enough to flavor ourselves and shine a light onto ourselves and bask in our blessedness while all around us, parts of God's creation suffer. To be blessed, to be salt, to be light, to be followers of Christ is to take seriously who Christ says we are for the sake of others and for the sake of the world he so deeply loved, especially those others whose stories the world has forgotten or silenced or kept hidden. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And when our lives genuinely exemplify and possess the blessed qualities which Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, then we are salt and light. Then we do add value and preservation and flavor to life. We do shine light into dark, inequitable, and unrighteous places. We illuminate the stories that our world, our systems, our privilege, our history tries to leave out. We add the salt that makes our global family of faith, the entire diverse, colorful, all-embracing body of Christ, taste more like itself. If we, our words, our actions, our church, our lives, our own ministries, aren't doing that, then we have lost our taste and our light and our way. The Beatitudes, Jesus' life and mission, was all about turning things upside down, giving voice to the voiceless, choice to the choiceless, name to the nameless, healing and dignity to those the world had cast aside, story to those the world would have preferred to forget. We have been charged with a serious and heavy and precious responsibility to be salt and light, a challenging call to bear, but it is who we are. For better or for worse, my prayer is that it is for better. May our pouring out, may our shining be for the life and light of the world, the whole world, no exceptions. Amen.
The salt of the earth, O people, salt for the reign of God. Share the flavor of life, O people, life in the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy, bring forth the reign of peace. Bring forth the reign of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are a light on the hill, O people, light for the city of God. Shine so holy and bright, O people, shine for the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy, bring forth the reign of peace. Bring forth the reign of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are a seed of the word, O people, bring forth the reign of God. Seeds of mercy and seeds of justice grow in the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy, bring forth the reign of peace. Bring forth the reign of justice, bring forth the city of God. We are a blessed and a pilgrim people, bound for the reign of God. Love our journey and love our homeland. Love is the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy. Bring forth the reign of peace. Bring forth the reign of justice. Bring forth the city of God.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have some joys and concerns to lift up. Those have been written in the book or have been shared with us throughout the week. Our joy this morning is that Don Fretz is celebrating his 91st birthday. So happy birthday to Don. That is certainly worth a round of applause. We give thanks for your life and for you being among us this day. We do have quite a few concerns to lift up. Karen Filson has asked for prayers for her neighbor Nora, who is at Abington Hospital awaiting surgery tomorrow. Judy Koenig has asked for prayers for a dear friend, Kathy Truesdell, who is also in the hospital. We got word this past week that Ginny Collins is in Lansdale Hospital, so we surround her with comfort and peace, as well as her family. Angelina Mascaro, who is a friend of the Lamps, daughter of Brett Mascaro, is in the ICU, so we surround Angelina with our prayers. And Ruth Kinsey has asked prayers for Sue Cope, who is Ruth's sister-in-law. Sue's husband, Paul, passed away on Thursday. Paul was the father of Brian Cope, whose passing we lifted up not too long ago. So we keep Sue in our prayers. We all come to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns. We may have names and faces and situations weighing on our hearts or causing us worry or concern. Or perhaps we are excited about something or experiencing joy this day. Whatever it is you bring to this time of prayer, I invite you to lift it up with me now in prayer. Holy and loving God, we are called to be light, and yet we cannot help but see and feel times of darkness. You have the power to call us out of our dark places, and yet you have the tenderness to meet us in the thick of them. God, when we struggle to see the light and to be the light, you become the light. When we see nothing but hopelessness, you embody hope. When we are in pain, you step into the pain with us, opening your hands and offering to take our burdens from us. Time and time again, O God, you invite us into abundant, flavorful life. But that does not mean a life without hardship or pain. Being salt isn't always easy. Abundant life with you still has hard days. But it is for us as people of faith about the unfailing grace that meets us on those hard days, about the unconditional love, and the promise that we are not on this journey alone. So hear us as we call out to you this day, O God, as we come together as a community to pray, to celebrate, to lament, to lift up to you all that we hold and carry. God, when we are caught up in that which makes life worth living, celebrations and joys, milestones and sighs of relief, precious time surrounded by friends and family, when we encounter the beauty of your creation, remind us that you are close, rejoicing with us, sharing in our excitement and happiness. We pray and think especially this day of Don as he celebrates his 91st birthday. And God, when concerns fill our every thought, when anxiety, grief, worry, and fear threaten to consume us, surround us. No matter what we hunger and thirst for, justice, peace, relief from pain, an end to suffering, life beyond grief or loss, you are close at hand, drawing near to our concerned and heavy hearts. We lift up this day Nora and Kathy, Ginny and Angelina, and Sue, and all who mourn Paul's passing. We know that you meet each of them in their time and in their place of need, that you surround them with your loving peace, comfort, and hope. God, as we continue on in this season of light, call us out of our complacency and our routines. Set us free from the things that tie us down and trip us up. Fill us with your light, with your spirit of life and compassion and peace. And may we be salt and light in ways that make a difference in our lives and in the life of the world that you created and love. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We have an opportunity now to stand and to sing our doxology as our offering is brought forward, as we lift it up to God and dedicate it to the service of God. Let us stand and sing. Loving God, we offer up our gifts to you this day, and we give you thanks for all that we have been given, for the opportunity to share it, and for all the ways our community and our world will be transformed by the generosity of your people. God, bless all that is offered this day, gifts of time, talent, voice, and the concrete, tangible gifts we dedicate to you now. May we use all of them with wisdom and boldness to continue to be salt and light in your world. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, as you go from this place to be salt of the earth and light of the world, I'm going to encourage you to begin by sharing the peace of Christ with your neighbor, those you are sharing a pew with, those you are sharing a sanctuary with, those who you surround yourself with. Let them know you are glad they are here. Then go downstairs and join in a time of fellowship. Don't forget to stop by the narthex and the elevator lobby on your way out. And then, as you go out into the world to share that same peace of Christ with all whom you meet, may you know that as you do, God's love, Christ's peace, and the power of God's Holy Spirit goes with you and stays with you this day and every day. Amen.